Today I'd like to continue to read from Psalm 10 and comment as we go. This is a psalm, a prayer, and a prophecy on our end time, as I'll show you as we get to the end of the psalm. And it deals with the troubles that we are having today in the realm of money and economics. And very few people can imagine the trouble that the people of this nation and this nation itself, from the White House right down to the most humble family in the nation, the trouble that we have, how much of it is due to our debt money system. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? And many of our troubles, innumerable number of our troubles, have their root in our money system. Now, last broadcast, we devoted our time largely to answering why. We're in this because we paid no attention to God's law relative to money. What constitutes a scriptural, righteous, adequate, scientific money system as set forth by Moses and administered by David and Solomon, Nehemiah, and other civil administrators? This is all written in the old scriptures, and we pay no attention to it. So we have the reason. In fact, the reason is it's our own fault, it's our own sin, it's our own ignorance. Verse 2, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Now, you note this word poor, it appears again and again in this chapter. Then he prays, let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. And this is what's going to happen. Tight money and high interest, mortgage foreclosure, these things that have been used to oppress and to persecute and make it difficult for the poor, these very things are the things that are going to break this money system to pieces and is going to make it collapse. It's their own method that's going to destroy them. Verse 3, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. Now, in both verse 2 and 3, you have indications here that this is a prayer and a prophecy on economics and money manipulation. In verse 2, you have the word poor. And then you have the word devices that they have imagined. And then you have the word covetousness. And that means, of course, a love for money to the extent that money is used not as a medium of exchange, but a medium of control to ensnare and to trap and to oppress people, as we'll see as we go on in the psalm. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance. Now note also how in each one of these verses you have the word wicked. Now who is wicked? What is wickedness? Wickedness simply means a rejection, a rebellion against the Word of God. And our problem, our difficulty today, is that we are all wicked because we pay no attention to the Word of God in regards to money. So it's not just a handful of people that are wicked. As a nation, we're all wicked because we pay no attention to God's word, God's law relative to money. And God's law relative to money is just as binding and just as real as God's law against murder or any other sin. So we're all involved in this. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. How many Christian people do you know that go into the scripture and read the historical books of the Bible for light on the money question? Not very many, I'm sure. So let's not stand aside and separate ourselves and say, well, these people are wicked and we're righteous. No, you're with the wicked if you reject and ignore the Word of God. And the thing that we're concerned with here in this prophecy is the money question. Verse 5, his ways are always grievous, and the margin says firm. There's no group of people in this nation that's more firm and more secure, they think they are, and they have been in the past, than those that manipulate the money. But we're coming to the time when they are going to be in the greatest jeopardy. They are the ones that are going to be caught, and they're the ones that are going to fall in their own traps. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight, and how true it is. Christian people pay no attention to God's judgments in regards to money. You know that the scripture says that inflation and deflation is an abomination in the sight of God. Now, to hear some people talk, you might think we have to have inflation and deflation. No, we don't need to have either one of them, and we wouldn't have them if we had a scriptural money system. Do you know that to take the home away from a family through mortgage foreclosure, do you know that that's sin? That's an abomination in the sight of God. So, we pay no attention to the Word of God. The Word of God is far above us and out of sight. This is very interesting that I read in verse 5, as for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. Now, that's not true of the employer. That's not true of the employee. That's not true of the farmer. That's not true of the manufacturer and producer. But it is true of those that manipulate our money. They puff at people in poverty and in distress. And they can make their decisions. People come to them for a loan, and they can puff at them. Now, industry and labor can't do that. They have to bargain. They have to give and take. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. Now, that's been the history. The money powers have been secure, and they've survived. In fact, the matter is, and they gathered in tremendous wealth through inflation and deflation. So they imagine, I shall never be in adversity. But that's not what the scriptures teach. The scriptures teach as we come up to the end of the age, they're going to be in great adversity. And James says they're going to weep and howl. Not the poor. And don't you poor people, and you people that are struggling just barely to make an assist to live and have an existence, don't be troubled over this. Because this is going to be the greatest release that mankind has ever known in the realm of money and economics. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. And again, I remind you of this. It's the system that we must change. We gain nothing by condemning and charging and blaming one another. We are all guilty. We have all ignored and rejected God's laws relative to money, and that includes the full gospel preachers, that includes the fundamentalists, that includes the clergy, and that includes the church. And if anybody is more to blame than anybody else, I imagine it would be us as ministers and the church, because we haven't preached the Word of God. Now, I don't believe that the church or the clergy should get involved in party politics. And if you followed my ministry, you know that I never get into party politics. That's not the calling, and that's not the place for a preacher. A preacher is to preach and teach the Word of God. And down through the years, I've had many opportunities. In fact, people have gotten quite disgusted with me, because I wouldn't jump on some political bandwagon. Well, that's not my calling. I must preach the Word of God to the Democrats as well as the Republicans. I must preach the Word of God to the liberals as well as to the conservatives. So as a preacher, I have my place and I try to stay within my place. And in dealing with the money question, I do not come to you from a political standpoint. And I do not come to you as an economist. I come to you as a preacher of God's Word, setting forth what the Scriptures teach concerning this problem. And it is the great problem of our time. Well, let's read on in verse 8. And here he describes the very thing that I've called your attention to, how this system operates. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places doth he murder the innocent, his eyes are privily set against the poor. Well, volumes could be written on that verse. It's the same thing that we had in Nehemiah and Jeremiah. Verse 9 of Psalm 10 is very similar to what I read some time ago for you from the prophecy of Jeremiah. Let me read verse 9 of Psalm 10, and then I want to read verse 26 of the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 5. Here's Psalm 10, verse 9. He lieth in wait secretly. Now, you have here a description of how this money system operates, how those who manipulate our money, how they operate. They're not out in the open. They don't explain to the people so people can understand the money system and the method whereby money goes into circulation. It's deliberately made confusing and complicated. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in its den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. Now note this. He catches the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. Now money itself, wealth and possessions, there's nothing wrong with that. But the thing that's evil and the thing that's unscriptural is the way this money goes into circulation, and as it does, it forms a net. It forms a trap. Let me read what Jeremiah said in verse 26. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait. They wait until people get in distress. Until people have to make loans. Now, a certain amount of that, of course, is proper and scriptural. But they lay wait as he that setteth snares. This debt money system is a snare. It's a system that's a snare. No matter who operates this system, it's a system that's a net. It's a system that's a snare. Jeremiah goes on and he says, they set a trap, they catch men. Now, what are the men of today caught in? What are our cities caught in? What is Washington, D.C. caught in? What are you caught in? What's labor caught in? What's a businessman caught in? They're caught in this snare, this trap, this net. And they call it high interest and tight money, inflation and deflation. The whole nation is caught in this thing. And back to Psalm 10, the psalmist describes this procedure further. He says, he croucheth and humbleth himself. He pretends to be very concerned. He pretends to be very anxious to help. Well, what he helps in is to get people caught, get them caught in debt, and then manipulate the money, and then by mortgage foreclosure, take people's homes and farms and businesses. We went over that in the administration of Nehemiah. He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong wants. Now, what's the one strong thing in the nation today? It's the money power. The money system is the most powerful thing in the world. It controls everything from the cradle to the grave. It is the strong ones. It is a net, it's a snare, and it's a trap. And all I'm doing is giving you the scripture. This is what the scriptures teach. Verse 11. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. Well, my friend, God hasn't forgotten. Now, you might think from what you hear, or rather what you don't hear, in regards to the teachings of the old scripture in regards to money and the teachings of Christ and his kingdom parables on the money question, you might think that God has forgotten everything that was written about this issue in the scriptures. Well, God hasn't forgotten, and God's going to do something about it. Now, they imagine that God has forgotten everything that Moses wrote about money, everything that the prophets wrote, everything that Christ said about the money question. Well, it's not to be forgotten. People think it is. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Now the prayer begins. Now the psalmist, after describing this thing that we are in now, and you're familiar with it, you hear it daily over the telecast, daily over the radio, what's happening to our nation, what's happening to labor and industry, what's happening to homeowners, what's happening to our cities, and what is it? Well, they're all trapped, they're all snared, and they're all in this net of an unscriptural, unconstitutional money system. But here's the prayer. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thy hand, forget not the humble. Now, one of the things that we as a people must do before God can do anything for us is to humble ourselves before the Word. And the reason we've had no deliverance, and the reason things go from bad to worse, and in spite of all that's being done to correct and to alleviate and to help, everything seems to go from bad to worse. And the reason is, there is no humility in this nation before the Word of God. Christian people will be humble enough to accept Christ as a personal Savior. But there, their humility before the Word stops. When it comes to what the Word of God teaches about race relationship, about money, and about all of these other afflictions and all of these problems, there is no humility before the Word. He prays, arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thy hand. And God will. In fact, God is doing that right now. This money system is going out. It's crumbling. It's breaking down. It's failing. And this is the hand of God. Forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Well, God will require it. God will require something from these people who have created this debt money system, and from the people in Congress who have allowed this system to develop and to grow and to flourish, and have done nothing about correcting it or bringing it into harmony with the Word of God. Thou wilt require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite. One of our troubles, I believe, and one of our difficulties is this, that in dealing with the money question, too often we just blame and attack one another. The Democrats blame the Republicans. The Republicans blame the Democrats. The liberals blame the conservatives. The conservatives blame the liberals. And so we go on and around, working ourselves deeper and deeper into this difficulty, and we're actually in quicksand when it comes to the money question and the need of money. Now, this whole system is built upon mischief and spite. So he prays and he prophesies, "Thou hast seen it," and thank God he sees it, "for thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it with thine hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless." Then he prays this prayer. And you might join in and pray this prayer yourself. "Break thou the arm of the wicked." Now, the wicked has been described through this psalm. They've been identified. The wicked here are not the producers, not the manufacturers, not the industrialists. It's these that manipulate money, create our money, and make us pay interest, tribute to them for the privilege of using our own money. He says, "Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man, seek out his wickedness till thou find none." Then the next verse, very comforting, thought-provoking, "The Lord is King forever." And would to God the Christian people would believe that. They limit the Christ to their own personal salvation. Now, I'll grant you, your personal salvation is the first and most important thing. But let's realize that the Lord is King forever, and that we're moving into the kingdom age. "And the heathen are perished out of his land." Now, this is something that very few people understand, very few people believe, that according to Bible prophecy, according to the kingdom parables, there's going to be a tremendous cleansing in this nation. And let me tell you this, whether you believe it or not, we're moving up to the time when anyone that will not honor the Word of God for the nation and honor Christ as King over the nation will be deported. Now, that's a subject, of course, that would require many broadcasts, and maybe we'll be going into that. But here's the prophecy, "The heathen have perished out of his land," one particular land. The manifestation, the restitution of the kingdom comes first to one particular land, and that land is the United States of America. Verse 17, "Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble." Now, what's the desire of millions and millions and millions of humble people throughout this nation? What's the desire of the unemployed? What's the desire of the older people? What's the desire of young people? What's the desire of millions of people? Well, you know what the desire is. It's that they might have enough of this thing that we call money so they can live according to the standard that God Almighty has provided and purposed and intended that people should live in this nation. "Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear." Now, I said in our last broadcast that I had something very important that I wanted to call your attention to in this broadcast, and here it is. "Thou wilt prepare their heart." Millions of people in this nation are praying and hoping, looking to God, and some of them, perhaps, that are not even Christians, are secretly and privately praying that God will help them so they can pay their mortgage, so they can pay their grocery bill, so they can get money, so they can have employment. Now, God says, or the prophet says, "Thou wilt prepare their heart." Do you realize, my friend, that before this nation can have a financial releasing, God has to do something in the hearts and the minds of the people of this nation? I had a letter from a party in Florida, and he brought up this matter. He said, "Do you think that we are spiritually qualified and prepared to administer a scriptural money system?" And the answer is no, we are not. It's provided in the Constitution, and it's provided in the Word of God, But before we can have a financial releasing, there must be the moving of the Spirit upon the people of this nation. And all you need to do to realize that is to give a little thought and consideration to Christian people. Say nothing about unsaved people. Christian people that have all of a sudden come into wealth. What happens? Well, almost without exception, they get proud, arrogant, and haughty, and they depart from the Word. If the parents don't, the children do. And this wealth and this prosperity is oftentimes one of the greatest evils that could come to that particular Christian family. I've seen this in my own ministry. You say, well, preacher, why do you talk about money release then? Because it's provided in the Scripture, is taught in the Scripture, and according to the Scripture, we're going to have this outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will change the spirits of the people of this nation so that we can live and God can trust us with financial releasing. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of this of the earth may no more oppress. Now that's prophecy, bringing us right into the kingdom age. And a great deal could be said about this need of us having a change of spirit, and a change of mind, a change of attitude toward the Word and toward God before God can send us financial release. But we'll continue, as the Lord leads, to set forth this provision in the Scripture. We'll do our part, and certainly God will do His. And God alone can send this outpouring of the Spirit, this latter rain, that will enable us to handle and to live with prosperity. I've gone over this before. I've quoted various scriptures showing you that this money system is a judgment from God, and that we read both in the writings of Moses and in the kingdom parables that this system would be upon us as a burden and as a yoke until we turn to the Word of God for the nation with its laws, statutes, judgments, and commandments. I take you back to the book of Deuteronomy. And the book of Deuteronomy, when it comes to the national message of the Bible, is similar in the position it occupies to what the book of Romans is to the church and to church doctrines. You should read this book of Deuteronomy very carefully, because here you have the setting forth in a wonderful way the gospel of the kingdom, the national message, and what God requires of a nation, and how God will bless a nation, pour out His favor and His mercy, blessings upon the nation, if the nation will honor the national message. Not a word here about personal salvation by the law. Personal salvation has never been by the law. It never can be by the law. Paul said, if there had been a law given that could have given life, then personal salvation might have been by the law. A personal salvation is not by the law. It's by faith, and it's through the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's the only way you can have personal salvation. What I'm setting forth is the national message of the Bible. And at this particular time, what the Scriptures teach concerning an adequate, just, righteous, scientific, workable money system. How money should go into circulation. Interest-free, debt-free, matching goods and services, and be paid into circulation. Money shouldn't go in as a debt. It should be paid into circulation. Well, let me read from Deuteronomy 8, beginning at verse 10. And incidentally, this instruction, this warning and exhortation came to the Isaac sons, the Anglo-Saxons, It came to us hundreds of years before there were any people known as the Jewish people. So this is for us, the nations of Christendom. Listen to this. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. And this was true in our nation for many, many years. Some of us remember in our youth, in our homes, all over the nation, there was family devotion, either in the morning or in the evening, and sometimes both. The parents would get the children together, and there'd be a brief reading of the scripture and thanking God for his blessing upon them and the land. Not too much of that today. Well, let me read on. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Now, he's not saying, beware that you forget there is a God. No, we haven't forgotten there is a God, but we have forgotten the word of God for the nation. And incidentally, this is why we are unable to remove this burden and break this yoke of the pagan Babylonian money system. I would to God I could get this across, because a great host of people are devoting their lives and their efforts trying to combat this system, trying to correct this system, but we get nowhere. This has been going on since the founding of this nation. Benjamin Franklin foresaw what would happen with this money system upon us. Thomas Jefferson warned about this. But here we are, unable to do a thing about it. Now, what's the reason? Well, here it is. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes. If we as a people had been familiar with God's commandments, judgments, and statutes relative to money, the money powers would never have been able to saddle this system upon us. But because we forgot the Word of God relative to money, here we are under this crushing burden and this heavy yoke. Here we are, being crushed. Let me read on. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. My friend, there's your answer. And until we remember, and we as a people, and you Christian people, until you turn to God's commandments, judgments, and statutes relative to money, and until the clergy begins to preach and teach this the way Luther did and the way Wesley did, we're going to stay under this yoke and this burden. It's a judgment from God. Today we begin a study of the 58th chapter of Isaiah's prophecy. This chapter, Isaiah 58, is a prophecy on our time, and I think you'll see as we go into this chapter, it's a prophecy on our nation. One reason we're going into this chapter is because it deals specifically, very clearly, with the evils, the woes, and the curses that would come upon us because of our debt money system, our unscriptural method of putting money into circulation. But before I read from this prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah 58, I want you to note something that we read over in the book of Hebrews, in the new scriptures. I want to begin reading at verse 25 of the 12th chapter of Hebrews. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. And that's a warning. Be careful that you don't refuse to hear the word of God. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Here you have a warning, an exhortation, that we as a people need to be very careful lest we refuse and fail to hear both the old and the new scriptures. And that's the word from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. This is a teaching that you find throughout the entire scripture, that as we come up to the end of this age, God is going to shake everything. And the reason I wanted to read this in connection with our discussion on the money question in the light of Scripture is because God has for years now been shaking our economic system. And it's very shaky right now. And it's going to, well, let's see what's going to happen to it. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. What he's saying is simply this, and you find it throughout Bible prophecy, as we come up to the end of the age, God is going to shake everything in the nation. First this great kingdom nation, and then throughout the entire earth. And this shaking has been going on now for quite some time. And it's very evident and very manifest in the realm of economics and money. And the reason for this is because it is completely out of line with the Word of God. Now please note what's going to happen. We read that those things that are shaken shall be removed. And those things that cannot be shaken, they remain. In other words, things that are in harmony with the Word of God, the principles and the teachings of the Scripture, whether it be a home, a church, or a nation, or an individual, if that institution or that particular body is out of line with the Word of God, it's going to be shaken. And everything in the nation is being shaken, and especially our economic system, our money system. But it's being shaken in order that it might be removed and replaced with something much better. Let me read the next verse. And this shows the reason for the shaking that has come to our nation. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom. Now that's the reason. This is the reason for all of this upheaval, this shaking, this turmoil, this breakdown. The reason is because we've now come to the time for the manifestation and the ushering in of the kingdom of God. And one of the things that must go, and clearly must go, must be removed, is what we speak of as, in the Scripture, the Babylonian money system, or mammon. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Now, the kingdom of God is not going to be moved or removed or replaced by some Antichrist kingdom. The Antichrist systems and these pagan ideas are going to be shaken and removed, whether it's the school or the church or the home. They're going to be shaken and removed because the kingdom of God is coming in. And then he says, let us have grace, and that's what you need today, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. That reminds us of what Peter said. He said that as God once cleansed the earth with water, he's going to now cleanse it with fire. And that fire is the fire of the Holy Ghost. Now, Isaiah 58. Cry aloud, and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people. Here we have it again. Show my people. Great many people in this nation, they lift up the voice like a trumpet, and they spare not, they cry out, and they tell everybody about the sins and the transgressions and the iniquity of some other party or some other group of people. Well, here Isaiah says, you tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. You say, preacher, how do you know this is a prophecy for the end time? Because the time element is given again and again as we go on into this chapter. And verse 2, the prophet describes something here that we are very conscious of today. Let me read it for you. Yet they seek me daily, that is this people, and delight to know my ways. As a nation. Now, this isn't addressed to some individual church or body of believers. This is addressed to the nation. He sees a particular nation, and he says, this nation has a lot of sins and transgressions that should be explained to them. They should be told about their sins and their transgressions. But he says, they seek me daily. They act very religious. They pretend to be very pious. But he says, they have forsaken my ordinance. And he says, they have departed from my word. And in verse 3, he continues, he says, wherefore have we fasted? The people complain that God isn't answering prayer. And that's what we have in our generation. People have gone so far that they've said that God is dead. We prayed for peace, and we get more wars. Now, what's the trouble? Well, the prophet tells us as we go on. And he says, you take pleasure in exacting your labor. Then he says, he goes on, and he describes his people. He said, you're full of strife and debate. You condemn one another. You take advantage of one another. You pay no attention to my word, my principles, my laws and statutes. But you act very pious and sanctimonious and religious. But then in verse 6, he comes right to the heart of the matter, and he tells us where our trouble is. He says, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? If you've been with us in our past broadcast, I've identified the burdens and the yoke. I've gone into Bible history and Bible prophecy, and I've shown you from scripture after scripture that we find the yoke symbolizes, and it's in the singular, it isn't many things, the yoke symbolizes in the scriptures, both in history and prophecy, our pagan debt money system. So Isaiah sees our nation today in the confusion, in the distress, in the strife and the violence and the corruption that we're in, on the one hand, and yet on the other hand, pretending to be very religious, very pious, and have all sorts of ritual and church activities. But he says, you do nothing about the bands of wickedness. Now, what's the bands of wickedness? And what is the heavy burden? What is the yoke he refers to in verse 6? Well, it's simply our pagan debt money system. It's a band of wickedness. And this thing produces more crime throughout the nation, both by the people that are in extreme poverty and those that live in extreme riches than anything else. And it's actually a band of wickedness. And it's a heavy burden. What couldn't we do as a nation if we would adopt a scriptural and scientific money system and put money into circulation at its source, interest-free and debt-free? That's the burden, that's the yoke, and that's the band of wickedness.